Hello everyone, I'm Lawrence Larty, Director of Innovation, Industry and Enterprise at Ravensbourne University London. Today, we're tackling one of the biggest challenges facing the creative industries, which is the broken talent pipeline. Now, for over a decade, the creative industries and creative education have faced significant underfunding. This has been compounded by a widespread narrative that creative jobs are scarce and poorly paid. So the result in this is a sharp decline in young people choosing creative pathways, and this has led to serious skill shortages, a lack of industry-ready graduates, and a loss of diverse creative thinking, and this is happening across multiple sectors. A recent government report found that 33% of vacancies in the UK's creative industries were attributed to skill shortages. But the tide may be turning. In the UK, the government's latest industrial strategy, released in the autumn of 2024, recognises that the creative industries as a key driver for economic growth, pledging £60 million to fuel the sector. Money alone won't solve the problem, though. In this episode, we dive into what else it will take to repair the talent pipeline, starting in schools and universities and extending into industry. I am absolutely thrilled to be joined by an impressive panel, so allow me to introduce them. First up is Ben Major, Global Talent Director at Uncommon Creative Studio, and we've just done a project with them recently. Emma Slade Edmondson, co-founder of Goodform, which is a conscious strategic marketing consultancy and production house. And finally, Kalila Lickfold, who works at Ravensbourne as a social media officer, and she's a Ravensbourne alumni as well. Thank you all so much for joining us today. Okay, so welcome everyone. So we'll start with Kalila. So Kalila, tell us what you do at Ravensbourne, please.
Sure. So I am the social media officer at Ravensbourne. So my job is to look after all of our social media content, all of our channels, manage the community and manage the production of the content for those channels. And I also was a student at Ravensbourne myself. I'm alumni of the course of fashion promotion of the class of 2020.
Thank you. Emma, tell us a bit about yourself and what you do.
Sure. So I am the co-founder of a strategic consultancy and production house called Goodform, which does purpose-driven work for purpose-driven brands. But I do wear a lot of hats. I'm also an author and a podcaster, among other things.
Good, thank you. And finally, Ben.
I'm a global head of talent for Uncommon Creative Studio. I look up the spectrum of talent at the studio across recruitment, people, talent strategy. I also have another role with an organisation called Brixton Finishing School, where we get underrepresented young people into the industry. And I'm trustee of our charity called the Finishing School Foundation. Feels like a really varied experience across different organisations, and there's different shapes of higher education into the industry. And I also think just that distance between education and industry has got further apart, and there's loads in that, and I'm sure we'll get into it. But I think like the biggest thing I've noticed is that that canvas of creativity has changed a lot. And so some institutions that don't have a lot of industry input can maybe still be trapped in old ways of advertising work or storytelling. But I find that there isn't enough industry input into education. So young people are coming out sometimes with, you know, paper portfolios and really crazy stuff.
Thank you. And then what are your thoughts?
I think I would agree with you. I think the biggest thing I see is a gap in collaboration between industry and education institutions. And I think as somebody who has been a creative entrepreneur for much of my career now, well, for longer than I wasn't, I think that like there's a desperate need for young people to really see like the real hybrid roles in the modern day, to even understand that they exist and to have real experience of those, and also real role models. I'm sure we'll get into this, but I think, you know, it's really important that we see like diverse role models as well as these hybrid roles and people succeeding in them.
I see you nodding clearly. Obviously, you studied at Ravensbourne. Do you feel that you were equipped to, you know, go into fashion as a result, or could we have supported you better? What are your thoughts?
I feel like there's two things at play. It's the getting to university and how prepared you are when you come and you arrive, and then there's the leaving and how prepared you are and the resources and the connections that you have. I think for myself, for coming to university, I came 2 years after all of my friends went, because I worked three jobs full-time to save up the money to make it work. And that money was gone within like two terms. It was like such a shock to the system, like that was such a waste of time. It just so wasn't worth it. And then I didn't have the right equipment. Everyone in my class had like better laptops, and we had to do photo shoots, and they all had cameras, and they'd hire out studios and models. And I was like trying to produce the same quality of work, but with very limited resources. And that can feel really frustrating, because I feel like then it's not a fair playing field when you're being graded.
So that's a really good point. So does that mean like the careers advice and guidance needs to be better and better tailored?
Absolutely. Yeah. I would say from my personal experience, I remember meeting with a careers advisor at sick form. And when I told her that I wanted to do, she was very confused about what I wanted to do. I explained that I wanted to do fashion. And she was like, okay, well, there's loads of fashion design courses. I said, I don't want to make clothes. I don't want to design them. I want to market them. And it's like, she didn't really, she was basically like, well, that's not really a thing. And I was like, no, I think that it is. Advertising, promotion, but she didn't like seem to actually understand that. And it was like, well, you can do this. You can be a designer, or maybe you could go and do English and be a writer if you want to maybe be a journalist.
There's a cultural heritage, like my Guyanese family, Indian heritage, you know, they just think law, medicine, these things, right? That are, you must go into engineering, and our creative sector is painted as you got intern for free and then it's low paying. And part of that is true, but part of that actually is some creative industries, careers can be six figures in 6 years, right? So there's just such a lack of knowledge and careers advice. I found it in my school years ago, but even recently, it just feels like there just isn't, if you don't have friends or family members that are in the business, how do you take that leap?
On my first advertising job, when I arrived there, I actually realised, just talking to somebody else, that they were on a scheme. And I was like, I'm not on the scheme. Like, why am I on the scheme? So then I had to fight to get on the scheme. And I did end up on the scheme.
What was the scheme?
It was a graduate scheme. And I was a graduate, but just for some reason, I had not been put on the scheme. But yeah, is this demystifying? But also, I think, you know, to touch on what we were saying before, things are moving so quickly in industry. From my perspective, you know, someone who's worked in both advertising, marketing and sustainability, there's so many roles now that are going to be created that are these hybrid evolutions which are of our time, you know, that meet the challenges and the needs of the things we're seeing in the world, that we really need industry to be feeding back to education on, to make sure that, like, you know, people recognize that like these roles are going to be here and they're going to be really important. And it's actually going to be the creatives that solve these problems, in my view. So, you know, it's really important that within the creative industries, we start to understand how intersectional all these things are, and also how many new hybrid roles are going to be popping up.
But I think in all these new roles and being able to switch and uncommon, you know, creativity is just this thing that binds it all. We've kind of got different things to do at the table, you know, the commercial bit and the strategy and the creative. But actually, where it all comes from is all of us and the power of all of that. But that's not to say every business is like that. And I wouldn't know where to start to build that into education, that creativity is a big thing. But absolutely would be the thing I'd pin it down to.
Okay. So in addition to sort of preparing students with their studies and what they learn, and I think you mentioned it earlier, and it's often talked about like resilience and soft skills. So what other skills should universities be equipping the students with, apart from, so we prepare them to, you know, do fashion degree or photography, but what do you notice, all of you actually, the other skills, emotional skills needed to be not only to be successful, but to thrive. And like I say, people always say resilience, resilience, but it's not just about resilience. It's lots of other things.
Yeah, there's Bricks and Finish will run this summer school, which is this, you know, accelerator to get young people into the business. And only recently have we really focused on those softer skills and personal skills and life coaching. And advertising and creative industries is so brutal, and there's such a hustle, and there's such a learn to sell. We forget, we call it creative, but actually it's creative selling. And there's just this hustle, and you talk about it earlier, it's that skill that you learn when you're in advertising, whether you enjoy it or not, but the ability to get something over the line is big. And actually the young people that get into these entry-level jobs are the ones that have emailed 100 times, they've called, or they've been super creative to get their way in. And unfortunately, that's because the people they're trying to talk to are so busy that it's not that you're being ignored, it's the timing of when that note comes in. And then when you're here, you know, I'd like to think there's a meritocracy in it, in that, you know, that hustle, that ability to get onto something, your influence rather than your title is the thing that will get you, you know, noticed. But I would say that's absolutely a big thing. I think it could be natural to some people, but learnt for others.
I think that there's going to be so many intersections meeting each other in the future in regards to creativity. Problem solving, what you're talking about, getting in the door, is the first proof of problem solving. Mm-hmm. You know, that is definitely, in my experience of advertising specifically, probably all the things I've done, where you really need to kind of that problem solving will go a long way at the first hurdle. And then what we were talking about before in terms of creativity, I think the beauty of creativity is actually, like, it lends itself to this ability to synthesize things and, like, bring all of these things together to problem solve. And that is what we need in this day and age, like in every job, in every industry. And I think that's something that probably needs, once again, that collaboration, because in order to become really adept at synthesizing quickly, you need experience in the different spaces.
I would say that self-promotion is probably one of the most important factors, and that it can be a part of what we learn at New University, but I feel like specifically for some industries, it is the most important factor. My tutor was so brilliant. She'd always say you can, like, be the most creative person in the room and have the best ideas, but that doesn't mean that anybody else is going to know that. You have to put yourself to the front, be the loudest, be the boldest, and then put your ideas forward. And I feel like as someone who's not necessarily an extrovert, that can be, like, really challenging in certain spaces, especially in spaces that are only white or only with people with privilege.
I'd really agree with you. I think, you know, that ability to network and relationship build is so key. But I do think, you know, there are ways of even teaching someone how to write an email. I get an email from a student, like, almost every day. And it's the ones that have, like, crafted an email in a way that speaks to me, not really show it, like, just basically showing just a little bit of initiative and having done a little bit of research and just crafted in the right way, in the right tone, that I'll be like, okay, yeah, cool, I'll take however long out of my day to do whatever it is that they're asking me for.
In this aspect, the industry is part of selling and creating something that's desirable, and that art of the pitch and negotiation, even when it's not in your natural way, you know, it's unfair. The extroverts find it easy to be loud, or those that've got an uncle that's an art director, easy, right? It's so much easier for them. When you don't have it, you need these bridging organisations like Brixton and some other, you know, similar ones like that, that really help. But you think, really, that should be covered in a higher education platform of careers advice. Not only is this industry exist, but this is how you get into this place. Mm. There's no silver bullet. Lots of things that we've covered, as in industry getting involved with education. We can't really rely on extra funding in the government and all these other things. It just won't happen. But really, industry need to recognise that probably the biggest threat to our business is the talent pipeline. It's not AI. It's not all these other things. It's if this tap turns off, we have no one coming in. So there's got to be this realisation that they need to go in. There's a huge part of demystifying right from, you know, five-year-old going into school to all the way through of what the industry is and versus, you know, your parents not wanting you to go in.
I said this to you earlier. I knew in the early days of my career in advertising, I knew quite quickly I wasn't the mould that would succeed in that space.
What prompted you to know?
The culture. I could feel it. I knew it. But also, I'm a very ambitious, successful person, and I wasn't getting, where I should have been getting quickly.
Yeah.
And so I knew that that environment would not be the environment that, you know, I did my best work in. I knew I was capable of more, and so that actually is that's why I have worked for myself for so long. That's why I've created so many businesses, initiatives, campaigns, because I didn't feel like the opportunity was there for me, and the mentors weren't there for me, the people who looked like me, I couldn't see it. I couldn't see myself in the seniority, in the roles of seniority that I would aspire to.
You know, you spoke about the talent pipeline earlier, Ben, and saying like the tap's gonna run off, dry up, turn off, whatever. And with your experience, Emma, so does that mean that if diverse, multidisciplined students can't operate or find their own way within an established organisation, everyone's just gonna set up on their own, right? And that would be, and the industry will be coming to get those individuals who have set those own companies.
I've seen it. And it's often been a way that agencies have tried to diversify the people they have in projects, because, you know, I've got another couple of friends that started their own agency, a data insight agency, two young black guys, because they couldn't find their role in doing lots of different things. So the younger generation they can do lots of things. But agencies are still operating in a model where they sell certain things. I sell a strategist, I sell an account person, I sell a creative. So you're in that lane. And then you have a ton of frustrated creatives that have just ended up being a producer or something. Mm-hmm. And then it's really hard for them to jump, because one or two years in a thing, the business just goes, well, but you are this. And it's too tricky for me to think that you can go and do that other thing. And I obviously don't have the time for you to go and relearn, because we are an intense commercial business that's got to deliver every minute. There's not a luxury of you go spend a year getting better at that. And that's also why industry, to my earlier point, is moving away, is because actually the model of it, this project-based model, is like you have a three-month project. That's all you know. So when you go to plan who I hire, it's impossible, because I just don't know what the next 4 months look like. The business could be over in 4 months, because it's all spinning plates. And then what that happens is then to be more secure in that, I hire more senior people, because they just come in, they do it quickly, and I can scale up, scale down. And so unfortunately this whole layer of juniors now be missed. And I can't, it's tougher to find a route in. So you have to be really protective to make sure that always exists. Otherwise we're just going to eat ourselves in that I only ever need senior people, but those senior people will run out.
Growing up in the environment that I did, it wasn't just my own mum, but I grew up on a council estate with people who had lived in poverty and had a lot of social issues. And I still know some of those people. None of them even attempted to go to university. They didn't even try. It was obviously never even a part of their world. It wasn't a conversation. They didn't consider it. And I think that we need to start like really early, earlier than we think, where we think like college and sick form, it needs to be before that. We need young people to be like in high school thinking about their futures and what they can do now to work towards them. Not that they're responsible for it or should have to work twice as hard,
But I think that that is the reality, and that the sooner that we can get parents and carers on board and teachers and careers advisors, I think the more opportunity that we can provide for those specific people.
I think that collaboration is all important, because we need those three elements to be having an open dialogue with one another so that we can learn, you know, what is important to students, for example. You know, we know that younger people are much more interested in sustainability, for example. How does that fit into their view of what they want creativity to look like? And how does that fit with what industry is currently doing, how it's progressing, how it's moving?
Yeah, one powers the other, right? If you don't get them young enough in primary school to just make a connection that these jobs exist, or this, you know, how something gets on the screen, then less people choose it as a secondary school subject, less people choose it as further education, and then less people do it, then fewer courses exist, fewer people getting into business. And it's hard for industry to think that long term, albeit that could only be a 10-year cycle, 8-year cycle. But it's very real that that can take one moment and the whole thing sort of halves itself. If that doesn't happen, then it's a very real threat to the whole business. Or it just monopolises the people that come through a private education system, because, you know, nothing's broken there. It's Disneyland, right? They have everything they want and they can get into the business.
So if you could all change one thing to address the talent pipeline, what one thing would you like to implement?
I mean, it's a boring answer, but I feel like it just has to be money. I think that none of this works without, like we're talking about, working with industry. That's great, but only if those young people are being paid, even if it's a small amount. Otherwise, then it's not fair and equal. And like we're saying, everyone needs to benefit. So I think, yeah, it just needs to be kind of more open in that sense for it to actually work. The kind of culture, that shift that's going to happen in the creative industry will be at the hands of the young people that will be coming in to lead it. And I really hope that we can foster an environment where we open doors and hold each other's hands and pull each other up and create space, rather than people having to fight. And I've seen it in fashion where people have to stamp on each other to get to the top, and it's not kind and it's not nice. And I don't think it has to be like that. But it does take a collective effort, and I think a lot of work from a lot of different people for something like that to actually work on a large scale.
That for me is that, you know, that social mobility point, and just getting at that early stage, or like to both your points, if you just hit them at universities, they've had 10 years of being told not to do that. So if we don't power that through, then very real, in like a, you know, almost 5 to 8 years, it could be a real problem.
With everything that we're seeing at the moment, you know, I know in the sustainability field, like, things are moving so, so quickly all the time. It's always, you know, you're always learning, you're always evolving, you have to be, otherwise you're not doing it right. It's the same, you know, with what we're seeing in AI, but then also the uses of AI and how we have to understand, like, you know, what's ethical use of AI and what's not, which is linked to sustainability, of course. You know, I think most of us now hopefully understand that, you know, just writing one email on ChatGPT is like a bottle of water. And I think, you know, the younger people are even more in tune with all of this and want to understand how it can all be brought together and what that means for a potential career on the other side. And so, you know, I think we really need to understand if education bodies are as close to that as students are. And again, if industry is also feeding into that and feeding back to be like, do you know what? These are the roles that we're creating today, and this is what's coming up, so that, you know, we can prepare students.
Thank you. So Kalila, Emma and Ben, thank you so much for your time today. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks.